Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter, welcoming you to Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, because original Christianity, as Jesus and the apostles taught it, has been lost, overlaid with layers and layers and layers of lies and deception. So we're stripping it back just like an onion to try and find what is the truth? What are we to believe? What does the Word of God tell us? How do you become a true Christian? You can download that right from this website. Who and what is a true Christian? And I think you'll be utterly amazed that compared to the Christian churches in the world that keep Sunday and have a nice little soft Jesus that's easy to accept and nothing to do, far different. Because see here, we are scripturalists. We are dedicated to the truth. That's why we are doing the kingdom of God, the 10 steps to enter into it. How do you enter the kingdom of God? Now, we need to go back and do a little more on baptism because I didn't finish that in the last segment. So we'll see what we can do with this. You see, at Church at Home, we don't give you the same little formula every time. That's why we have segments, sometimes 10 and 12 segments covering one subject. And the reason is because the Bible has been inspired by the mind of God and there's so much in it that we could go on and on and on and on and teach many, many different things. That's why I encourage you also to go onto our other website, cbcg.org. Now, C stands for Christian, B stands for Biblical, C stands for Church, and G stands for God. And here at Church at Home and on cbcg.org, we preach the truth of God. We have no politics. We have no religious axe to grind. But we do want the truth. And we do want the real truth as interpreted by the Bible, not interpreted by men. And so why does the New Testament require baptism? Because so many Christian churches have abandoned baptism. And yet the truth is, you cannot be saved without baptism. And I'll show you why. Because it's more than just being saved from your sins. You enter into a covenant of eternal life. Now we know what John 3:16 says. Let's read that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. And everyone says, oh, that's wonderful. Jesus died for my sins. True. But you need to get the book, The Day Jesus Christ Died, so you can understand why Jesus died for your sins and the sins of the world. But what does that really mean to you? And how are you to respond back to God? Well, that's what baptism is all about. A lot of people say, oh, through the blood of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. True. And the free gift of God is that you have forgiveness through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. True. But remember what the Apostle Paul said? Do we abolish law through faith? He said, may it never be. We are establishing law. That's why you need to go to cbcg.org and download the series of sermons that we have, The Grace of God and Commandment Keeping. And you can download the sermons, The 12 Steps of Covenant Law, because now we are going to talk about covenant law and how that fits with baptism. Because the truth is, you will never enter the kingdom of God nor receive eternal life unless you are in covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ through baptism. Accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for yourself and the forgiveness of sin, that's only one side of the equation. The other side of the equation is, what do I do? What do you do? What does God require you to do? All right, let's come to Romans 6. We covered part of this couple segments ago, but I want to go through it again because it's very important to understand. Unless you understand this, you do not have a clue as to what salvation is all about and how you get from a state of sin to a state of righteousness and right standing with God, and from there, eternal life. And that's what the 10 steps of entering into the kingdom of God is all about. So here we are on baptism, which is step number 4. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Paul wrote, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now think about that for a minute. I talked to a good Baptist woman one time, and she was deadly serious. She said, "Since I'm saved, I can no longer sin." I said, "Really? Do you know what sin is?" Well, she couldn't answer me. So I said, "Okay, do you believe in the rapture?" "Oh, yes, I believe in the rapture. And when Jesus comes, he's going to take me in the rapture, and I'm going to miss the great tribulation. Won't that be wonderful?" I said, "Now, let me ask you a question." I said, "What if you were committing adultery with another man?" Right at the time that the call was, "Hello, the rapture's here," would Jesus take you in the rapture? "Yes, he would." I said, "Well, the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? May it never be." Now, the King James translates it, "God forbid." But the real translation, as we have it in the Holy Bible in its original order, "may it never be," is the correct translation. And it has the force of this: may it never be. We're not to continue living in sin. Now, why? Why? We need to ask the question, why? Jesus died for us, but what do we do for Jesus? What does Jesus require us to do for him in response to his death? And remember, Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament who created Adam and Eve and all mankind and everything that there is, the heavens and the earth. And he died for you. Now, do we take this as just kind of a willy-nilly, oh, wonderful thing to do? What are we required to do? Now listen, verse 2. "We who died to sin, how shall we live any longer therein?" How do you die to sin? Jesus was taken out and executed, nailed to the cross, and gave up his life, shed his blood, so that he would become the perfect sacrifice for the sins that you have committed and the sins of the whole world eventually, according to God's plan. And that took a great effort on the part of God, because Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament, and he divested himself of his glory and his power to become a pinpoint of life, to be impregnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary, to be born as a human being, to carry all the same human nature that we carry, and yet through his whole life never once sin, so that he could become the perfect sacrifice. Now, do you think that all that effort on God's part requires nothing on your part? Do you think that just simply believing in your heart that gives honor to the death of Jesus Christ? Is that all that God requires? So let's ask the question, how do you die to sin? Have you died to sin? And what does that mean? And how does that relate to the death of Jesus Christ? Do you know the answer? Well, let's read on. It's right here. Romans 6 and verse 3. "Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" He's not going to die for you and just have you meaninglessly stand up there and say, "Oh, I accept Jesus." He's going to say, "What are you going to do about it?" I died for your sins. Now I'm going to require symbolic death on your part, because all covenants require death. And when you get the book, the day Jesus the Christ died, you will see how in Genesis 15, God pledged his future death by symbolically going down through the pathway of those sacrifices. And when he came to this earth and was crucified, he fulfilled it with his literal death. And since he never sinned after 3 days and three nights in the grave, yes, 3 days and three nights, then he ascended to the Father to be accepted as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, but only beginning with those that God would call. And the very few under the old covenant that God directly dealt with. So God requires something on your part. He requires a symbolic death so that he knows that you have pledged your life unto death to receive forgiveness in the Holy Spirit. Let's read that again. Or are you ignorant that we, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Do you understand that now? Do you realize what that is saying? Did you understand this when you were baptized, or were you just dunked? And a lot of people dunked, millions and millions dunked. Tens of millions more never even baptized. And yet they say, oh, we're Christians. Not true. They're deceiving themselves. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into the death. Grasp that statement. When you go under the water, complete immersion, not sprinkling. You ever gone to a graveyard and all the bodies are laying out there, and here's the caretaker sprinkling a little dust upon them as he walks down through the middle of the corpses? No, they're buried under the ground, right? In the ground. Yes. That's why baptism has to be by immersion, and the Greek baptizo means to fully immerse. Why? Because that is a symbolic death and the closest thing you can come to in to die and yet live. Because you cannot just instantaneously die and then that's accepted. No, you must die the symbolic death in the watery grave of baptism, because there is much more for you to do. Because remember, baptism is only step number 4. So let's read on. So that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way also we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. What does that mean? Well, if you lived a life of sin, breaking all the commandments of God, and now you've repented of it, and now your sins have been buried in the watery grave, and you died to sin through this operation of baptism. And of course, the one who does the baptizing raises you out of the watery grave again, so you can walk in newness of life, correct? What is the newness of life? Loving God, keeping his commandments, walking in the truth, and we will see the other steps that are required by it. Are you walking in a newness of life according to the will of God? Because remember, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. But the one who's doing the will of my Father in heaven, do you not think that it's the will of the Father to keep the commandments which God ordained, which he created for mankind in his love? And please understand this, the commandments of God are not a curse. So you go to cbcg.org and you download that whole series of sermons, The Grace of God and Commandment Keeping. You need to understand the truth. Don't you think you've been deceived long enough by religionists who claim to be Christian but are not, who claim to represent God but represent Satan the devil? Think about it. Oh, those are harsh words. Well, Maybe a few words you may consider harsh. You need to compare that. What is that compared to going through the tribulation? Verse 5. Notice what this covenant is to be. For if we have been conjoined together in the likeness of his death, your death, that's how you die to sin in a watery grave, and you're conjoined to the death of Jesus Christ, he is the payment for your sins. And now you enter into a covenant of eternal life by coming up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life, to finish the rest of the 10 steps to eternal life, how to enter the kingdom of God. Let's read verse 6, because another operation happens with that. Because after you come out of the watery grave, you have hands laid on you for the receipt of the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll cover that in just a little bit here. But let's understand what all of this of baptism really signifies. And this is very important for everyone to grasp. And so in going through this, I need you to set aside all of your resistance, all of your hostility toward Jesus Christ and his death and baptism, and keeping the commandments of God. And please listen with open ears and open heart and an open mind so that you can understand, because you need to be baptized to enter into covenant with God in order to receive eternal life. These are the 10 steps to entering into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. Knowing this, do you understand this? I want you to understand this carefully, that our old man or the old self is co-crucified with him. Do you consider yourself joined into the death of Jesus Christ, conjoined, made part of that through baptism, that you, your carnal self, your old way of living, all of your sins and all of your transgressions and all of your way of thinking and way of living dies in that watery grave. Knowing this, that our old man is co-crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. Because you see, the sin is within. And now, through conversion, you need to have your heart and your mind and your thoughts and everything changed. And that is a process. And that takes time. And that takes effort. And that takes work. And that takes love and service and giving yourself to God in every way. That's what it requires. Now, continuing here, so that we might no longer be enslaved to sin. You can overcome the sin within. You can overcome the pulls of the flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit. And also, Christ then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells within you. And the seed of the Father for eternal life dwells within you, within your mind. And the Holy Spirit of God conjoins with the spirit of man that you have, so that now you begin to have a converted mind called the circumcision of the heart. It's what Paul talked about in Romans the second chapter and Colossians the second chapter. And the circumcision of heart takes place with baptism. Can't come any other way. So you need to think about it. Do you really believe God? Do you really believe the Word of God? Do you want to live by every word of God, as Jesus said? Or do you want to pick here and pick there and do this and do that? And, oh God, by the way, bless me. What is it that you want to do? What is your life? How are you going to live it? Are you going to answer the call of God? Are you really going to give your life to God through repentance and baptism? Now notice, verse 7, because the one who has died to sin through water baptism has been justified from sin, made right before God through the operation of God. Verse 8. Now, if we died together with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do you believe that? Then it goes on to show that with the Holy Spirit of God, sin does not any longer rule in your life. You have to fight and overcome sin because the law of sin and death is still within you. But what happens with the Holy Spirit of God? Now, in the book of Acts, Acts 2 and verse 38, this tells us the very beginning step. Once those who were there right at the temple when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost about why Jesus Christ died, and that they had their hands in it, and some maybe were out there in the crowd when Pilate said, "Behold the man," and they said, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And Peter said, "You who were there have crucified him." And the truth is, our sins also crucified him. Isn't that true? If you accept the crucified life of Christ as payment for your sins had their part in crucifying Christ. So when they heard this, they said, "Oh, men and brethren, what should we do?" Now let's read it, Acts 2 and verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you yourself shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, God is not going to give the Holy Spirit unless you're baptized. Someone's surely going to say, "Oh, what about Acts 10 and Cornelius and his household?" Well, you see, God had to break down the barrier of the thoughts of even the apostles that he was now going to call Gentiles and give them the Holy Spirit, not requiring circumcision in the flesh. In order to do that, he sent the Holy Spirit first as a sign to Peter and those who were with him. And a lot of people stop right there. But you need to go on. What did Peter say? "Who can forbid that they be baptized in water?" Now, that was an exception by the hand of God for that particular purpose of the first Gentiles coming into the church through baptism, and was never followed ever again. So you need to understand, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit of God unless you repent and are baptized. Now, this is all important for us to understand. Now, again, I'm going to mention the book, Judaism. You need this book. If you don't understand Judaism, you cannot possibly understand the difficult scriptures of the Apostle Paul. And again, I'm going to mention this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now, you can receive these free. Just email us and we'll send them to you. And you can say, "Well, how can you afford to send out books free?" The reason is there are many converted brethren who faithfully tithe and give their offerings so we can produce high-quality books, not little cheap little old pamphlets, but books, so you can see and understand and know the depth and the breadth of the Word of God and the things that are here. They have paid for it in advance so you can receive it without cost. And of course, then you'd need to think about that in relationship. What do you do in the future? Now, also go to our website, Restoring the Original Bible, because there we have the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. You can order it there. It has, by the way, the very best English translation possible in a Bible today, and will help you understand the Word of God in ways that you never really understood before. So if you want a Bible that's faithful, you want a Bible that's accurate, you go ahead and order it there. That's what we sell. That's through York Publishing. That's the only thing. Everything else, get it without cost. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home so that you can learn of the truth of the Holy Bible and the Scriptures of God and how they relate to you, so that you know that God loves you, God cares for you, God may be working with you and calling you. Will you respond to God? What is it that you're going to do? You have the freedom and the safety and the privacy of your own home today. But who knows what tomorrow will bring? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone. Until next time.